Okay.
We've got a new Zman and a new Perek. So again, opportunity to start fresh. Hashem, everybody was on the ball this morning. And Mirtz Hashem will continue with the opportunity to be mechazek each other as we go through this again. It's a fascinating, fascinating Perek. We'll take it a little bit slow at the beginning. I think most of you guys did that this morning, which is good. Because the Yesodos, the foundations for the whole Perek, are really built on the proper understanding of the beginning. Some of it is going to relate to some of what we discussed about Chazakos in the past, but we will certainly we're certainly going to review that. And maybe we'll start with that. We know that there are different. The word Chazaka can be used in a variety of different ways, and we're going to need to figure out when we look at the Mishnah. What are we talking about? What are we talking about here? There's a chazaka, which is acts as a kinyan, and that I can a chazaka when it comes to karka, which can serve as a kinyan, which not a god or a paratz. There's a chazaka that we talk about when it comes to robes. Like there's a chazaka of hanhaga. Right? Like, I'm blanking. A chazaka, I wonder what I'm looking for. Chazaka. Like, ain't other maize panav b'fnei b'chovo. Right? That a person, in front of the person who lent him money, we have a chazaka that a person doesn't lie to the face of the person who did him a tova. Right? So again, it's a chazaka when it comes to hanhaga. We have a chazaka in terms of just our understanding of reality, and this is going to come soon. Chazaka, kol masha tachas yad adam shalohu. That anything which is in a person's hand belongs to that person. This is, I'm holding on to this coat. We presume that it belongs to me. Why? Because that's the simplest interpretation of reality. Doesn't mean that it is that way. It doesn't. Do we know that a person is not lying in front of the Baal Chov because we have a chazaka? We don't know for sure, but a chazaka tells us how we are going to proceed because we don't always know all of the facts. So there are different types of chazaka. So what are we talking about here? Chizkas habatim v'aboros v'ashichin v'amaros v'ashochas v'amerchatzos v'beis habadin v'beis hashlachin v'avadim v'kol she'ose peiros talio chizkasan shalosh shanim liyom liyom. So the Mishnah starts off right away and talks about Chezkas Habatim. Chezkas Habatim, there is a chazaka when it comes to homes, when it comes to pits, when it comes to cisterns and caves and dovecotes and bathhouses and the Beis Abadim and the place where they're going to smush the olive. So thank you. Olive press was the technical term I was looking for. Yeah, better than smushing them. And the base hashlachim, and the fields that have a greater source of irrigation in the fields, and slaves, anything which makes payrolls constantly, their chazaka is 3 years from day to day. And the opening question, again, when we look at any Mishnah, we always have to ask ourselves a question in terms of understanding what exactly is the Mishnah teaching us, and what would I have thought if I did not know the Mishnah? So the Mishnah tells us that, what chazaka are we talking about? Chizka sabatim. What is this chazaka? And how is it going to be established through 3 years? Why 3 years? Where does 3 years come from? What's miyom liyom? Every single day? 365 days a year? Constantly? Is that what's necessary? In order to accomplish whatever this chazaka is, we need to understand what exactly is the chazaka over here. And the Rishonim, again, that makes it so clear that this is the question that has to be addressed, because the Rishonim deal with it right away, before we even get into the Mishnah. So let's start with the Ritva. So right away, the Ritva says, again, I think I sent you a picture of this one, if you don't have a chance to get your own kobitz yet. Chezka sabatim, put in the WhatsApp. Perish, kol hachazokos haniskoros bekan heim chazokos shel raya. Every chazaka which is mentioned over here is a chazaka of proof. Of proof. Chazaka of raya. De'ukmuha b'makom shtar ve'edim. Because we are putting it instead of shtar and edim. What does that mean? What does that mean? If I own a piece of land, if I own a piece of land, and you come along and you claim that the piece of land belongs to you, and you can prove it, so then I should have to leave the land. Right? The fact that I'm there right now does not mean there is no chazaka kol ma shetachas yad adam shelo hu when it comes to the land if you have prior ownership. If it's verified prior ownership, then there's no reason to assume that it belongs to me just because I happen to be there right now. People rent, people live in other people's homes. There are plenty of reasons and explanations as to why I might be there. So if I want to prove, right, the words that we're going to be having throughout, we have to keep in mind, we have the ma'arer and we have the machzik. Synonymous with the ma'arer is going to be the toveya. This will be, the machzik is the nitba. This could also be the ma'arer, the toveya, or the mocher, and this will be the lokeya. We'll explain all the terms in a second. And then the last one is probably how I'll use them, which is Reuven and Shimon. But those don't have to be that way, right? The ma'arer means the one who is complaining. The one who is complaining, right? So he's the one who is coming to court and he's going to say that there's something not right here. That's equivalent with Tovei, because Tovei means the plaintiff. The plaintiff is one who comes to court with the complaint. The mocher is, he's called the mocher as the seller, because that is, within the scenario, what this machzik is claiming about him. Right? That he is the seller. And then Reuven is because, in the story, you know, it was originally Reuven's field. Okay. The machzik is the one who is mochzak, who's in the karka right now. Nitba means that he is the defendant. Lokeach is that he is the buyer, because from his perspective, we're going to see, he's going to keep claiming, you're right, it was your land. I have no problem saying it was your land, but I bought it. If I bought it, then I'm the lokeach, and it belongs to me now. And Shimon, just in terms of the story. So again, these, for the next few blot, these terms are going to be coming up. We just have to keep straight who are we talking about. So the ma'arer is the one other term which may actually come up with the ma'arer is marakama, which means the original owner. We'll get to that term more a little bit later. Oh, so now, if the ma'arer comes along and the ma'arer says, what are you doing in my land? The land belongs to me, it belongs to my father, it belongs to my grandfather. What are you doing here? And the machzik now has to prove, he mocks it, says, I bought it. So, okay, great. That is possible. And then neither of you are liars. But if you want to claim that you bought it, then you have to do one of two things in order to prove it. The two simplest proofs are shtar or edim. Shtar is the simplest one, which would be, right, a document of sale. Right? Nobody's buying karka, nobody's buying a house, nobody's buying that a deed. So if I can put forward the deed, which says that now it belongs to me, the document of sale, so then that's, again, nobody's lying. You're saying that you originally owned it, I'm saying you originally owned it, but I purchased it from you. If I don't have a shtar, then edim, witnesses. Witnesses to what? To the sale. Right? That's what we're talking about right now. Witnesses to the sale. So these are two possibilities, right, to prove that I am the one who, the rightful owner of the field. Yes?
You only need one of them, right?
Yes. You see, one form of verification, but these are the two easiest forms of verification.
You can pick which one?
Yep, 100%. Doesn't matter. Oh. So says the Ritva, all of the chazakas that we are talking about in our perek are chazakas of proof. De ukmuhu b'makom shtar ve'edim. Cheskas Gimel Shonim, says the Ritva that we are talking about, is, if this is option one and this is option two, option three is Cheskas Gimel Shonim. If I am in your field for 3 years, eating it as an owner would eat from it, that is proof, if there's no shtar, or if there is no edim, that it belongs to me. That it belongs to me. Why is it important that the Ritva is saying this? Because I could have said something different. And the Ritva addresses it directly. Ve'ein zu chazaka de kinyan. This is not a chazaka of kinyan. Meaning, you come up and say the field belongs to Maharaj says, the field belongs to me, belongs to my Zaidi, belongs to everybody. And I say, no, it doesn't, I've been here for 3 years. So I say, okay, but it belongs to me. Did you buy it from me? No, but I've been here for 3 years, now it's mine. No. No squatter's rights. Just because you were there does not make it yours. If it was a chazaka of kinyan, then this would be the method of transference. This would be what moves it from the one possession to the other. Says there, so that is not what's happening here. So the machzik is going to have to support why it belongs to him. It belongs to me because I purchased it. I don't have proof. There is a chiddush. We'll have to understand more what this chiddush is. Why should the chiddush be true? There is a chiddush that if I don't have this and I don't have this, then this is going to work instead. This is going to work instead. Why would I have maybe thought that it's a transference? Because we do have a language of chazaka that's used in other contexts, says the Ritva. This is not the chazaka given his keres bin chasim sheyesh la machrayis. The chasim sheyesh la machrayis is code word for fields. And the Gemara tradition tells us, v'ein adom azul zekhal, the two have nothing to do with each other. Why? Dil ches kes kinyan hu tikun begufa shakarka. Kedistan na'al goda rezu chazaka. So how does it work? So we spoke about this a little bit in the past. But if I want to transfer ownership of my item to you, then we need to do two things. We need das, right, that I intend to transfer it to you. And then you need to do something that reflects ownership. That reflects ownership. A maisa kinyan. So if I want to give you my remote control, so I have to have it in mind, and then I give it to you, and you pick it up. By picking up a movable object, that's a reflection of ownership. And that's a kinyan of hagva. It's an animal, I pull it, mashicha. If it's karka, if it's land, I can't pull it up. I can't pick it up. So what do? I do something to improve the land. So we go, na'al gadar paras. I take down the fence, if that would be good for the land. I put up the fence, if that would be good. I lock it, not that I lock the key, because obviously that doesn't show any ownership, but I put a lock on it. That's something that only an owner does. Those are all ways of reflecting ownership. That is a maisa kinyan. That is not what's going on here. That's a tikkun to the karka. But what if I just walk in and you want me to acquire your field, and I walk in and I eat an apple from your field? Is that good enough for the maisa kinyan? Says the Ritva, no. No. Why? That's not a reflection of ownership. Yes. Yes, people that are owners do eat, but it's not synonymous with ownership. I let people come in, I say, go in, take an apple. I don't say, go in and, you know, put a lock up on my field so I can't access it anymore. Right? There's a difference between the two. So yes, eating the fruits is something that owners do, but it's not exclusive to owners. It's not exclusive to owner. If it's not exclusive, then it's not reflective of bailus. If it's not reflective of bailus, of ownership, so then there is no kinyan. So interestingly, what comes out here, what we're going to use as the chazak of the raya over the Gimel Shonim would not even work for one time for a transference. It's weaker. So you might say, okay, what about in the other direction? Could I have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim of Na'al Gadar Paratz or something like that? So he says, no, that wouldn't work either. Sometimes people just go in and they do things even if they don't want to do, but it's not necessarily a reflection of ownership. So it's what is going on here. You know what type of achila? Achila over the course of 3 years. That's something that only an owner does. Yeah.
Are you trying to say that even if the guy would put up a lock, that would be even considered a kinyan?
It would only be considered to be a kinyan if somebody puts up a lock without a das, then that wouldn't work.
Not das was
meaning. What do you?
So if the guy would bring on,
which guy are we talking about? The guy wants to sell it, or the guy's being maxic?
Maxic.
In the maxic case, if the merchant is maxic, puts up a lock, that would not be good enough.
Why not?
It would not be good enough because it's a one-time thing that sometimes bullies kind of come in and
so
do.
Then how does ever a cheskas kinyan work if that's the factor?
Because for a cheskas kinyan is a momentary kinyan. It happens when they do the action that time, combined with the das. Again, that's the big difference. Good?
How do you prove das?
You can't. Which is why you need, to prove it later, you're going to need shtar or eidim.
So cheskas kinyan needs also shtar eidim. You can't do it on your own.
You could do it, but you run the risk of not being able to prove it. Again, you don't always need proof. Sometimes people will just be honest and get along, and nobody will complain, and everything will be fine. But right, I can own my house without having a deed on my house, as long as we both agree. But I have no proof if somebody now comes and complains. So it would be silly for me not to have it. So yes. Al pi emes, in the world of truth, if we both agree and you have the das to sell it to me, and I do the maisa kinyan, and I put up the fence or the lock, whatever it is, then it belongs to me. But you're right. How can I prove it? I can't. The only way I can prove it is with shtar or with edim. And the chiddush of our Mishnah is that there's a replacement to shtar and edim of cheskas gimel shanim. We don't even know how any of that works. But at least it gives us the beginnings of the framework of what we are talking about here.
So if maybe Shri Cheskas Raya is a better chazaka than Cheskas Kinyan?
No, it's a different one.
Different.
Not better. I think that's exactly the point that they're trying to make. Right? They're Einan Domo Zulazu. It's apples and oranges. You cannot compare them because they're trying to do two different things. And where this one works, that one doesn't work. And where this one doesn't work. And it doesn't have to do with being better or worse, just being different. Good? So that's an important point that the Ritva makes. Now Rabbeinu Yonah makes one other clarification I think we just need in order to go full steam ahead in the Mishnah. Says Rabbeinu Yonah like this. Right? So you be on this page as well, I think I... Good. There, fine on the right hand side, or you don't have it face to page to page. Any chazak of 3 years of the chacham required, you go and sheich la ma'arer edim shehaisa shalavosav v'hu toin lekachtiyo mimcha. Whenever we are going to be talking about a case where the machzik needs to prove the nitpa, the lokeh that needs to prove that he is there with the chazak of gimel shanim, it must be talking about a case where the ma'arer has proof that it belongs to his father, or that it belonged to him. Meaning like this. Shimon's sitting in the field. He's been sitting in the field for 3 years, and everything is good. Let's say he's even only been sitting in the field for 2 years. He's been sitting for 2 years, everything seems fine. Comes along Reuven, and Reuven says, get out of my field. It belongs to my father. So now, Who is the burden of proof upon? Yeah.
Shimon.
He's been
there for 2 years now.
Good. Right? Except as follows, right? Meaning the burden of proof is going to be on the one who's there now, if to show that it belongs to him. However, Rabbeinu Yonah says there's one other piece of information that we need. If Reuven cannot prove that it belonged to his father, he's just claiming it, then Shimon has the upper hand.
What if Reuven says it belongs to him?
Okay. If Shimon says.
No, Reuven.
Okay.
No, Reuven says it doesn't belong to him. Instead of saying his father, he says him.
It doesn't matter. That's the same thing. Right? Reuven's making a claim that it belongs to me, either through my father or through me. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, in order to put Shimon on the defensive, where Shimon now has to prove that something has changed, Reuven needs to bring proof that it really belonged to him. Really belongs to him. Why? Says Rabbeinu Yonah. If the Ma'arer, right, if Reuven does not have any proof that it belonged to him or to his father, but now, think this through. What is Shimon's claim? Shimon's claim is that he bought it. If I claim that I bought it, so what am I implicitly saying? That it once belonged to you. So why does Reuven need to prove that it belonged to him if Shimon's admitting that it belongs to him? So says the Rabbeinu Yonah, because we have a concept of Migo and Pesha Asar. Right? Migo and Pesha Asar. We spoke about this in the past, but we're making sure that it's clear again now. Meaning like this. If Shimon just said it's mine and didn't say he bought it, right? So Reuven says it belonged to me. Shimon's been sitting there for 2 years. Neither one has proof. So who is the burden of proof on? Reuven. Because who's sitting there right now? Shimon. So the simplest interpretation of reality is that it belongs to Shimon. If Reuven wants to change the status quo, he's got to bring some sort of proof. But now Shimon is not saying that. Shimon is saying, it was yours. Wait. If it was his, doesn't Shimon need one of these three proofs in order to say that it belongs to him?
Mali the Shaker.
Good. So says the Rabbeinu Yonah, no. Why? Because why are we saying that it belongs to Reuven? Because we're believing Shimon. When Shimon says he purchased it, that means that it belongs to Reuven. So, based on the Gemara Ksuvos, if you're going to accept my stating that it belonged to him because I bought it from him, you can't take it halfway. If you're going to believe me to say that it once belonged to him, you have to believe the other part of my statement, which was, and I bought it from him. You can't take it only halfway. And therefore, even though Shimon is saying, I purchased it, it would still belong to Shimon, because if I said it's Aser, meaning I said that it belongs to him by saying that I purchased it from him, so obviously he owned it. You have to also agree, you have to also accept that I am saying that I purchased it. So again, the important point that Rabbeinu Yonah is making is that in order for any case of error to get off the ground, the Ma'arer needs proof. If he has proof that it belonged to him, so then now the burden is on Shimon to undo that, either to produce a shtar or eden. If it's less than 2 years, or less than 3 years, 2 years or go up 2 years, right? And he does not have a shtar or eden, but he's been sitting there for 2 years, then we say, get out. You can't prove it. If you can't prove it, until you can prove that you purchased it, you got to leave. After 3 years, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that Cheskas Gimel Shonem is a substitute for the Raya. Substitute for the Raya. Good. Oh. What about the following case? What about if the Machzik claims it was his and he bought it, and he sat there for 3 years? So right now, who's winning? Right? It should belong to the Machzik. But right now, the Machzik had to go, it was a Shiva week, and the Machzik went to Puerto Rico with the rest of Bergen County. And while in Puerto Rico, the Ma'ara came and sits in the field and says, the field belongs to me. Now he has a Cheskas Gimel Shana. But when the Ma'arer is making his claim, the Ma'arer is doing it as a muchzak of sorts while he is sitting in the field. Does that change anything or not? Does that change anything or not? Do you hear the shaila? Yeah. We've been assuming until now that when the Machzik is claiming that it belongs to him, and the Ma'arer is claiming that it belongs to him, and the Machzik has Gimel Yir, it's right now in the control of the Machzik. What happens if that's not the case? He went away for the week, and the Ma'arer plops himself into the field, and now he makes the claim. Does that change anything? The fact that when he's making the claim, he is sitting in the field.
Yes.
Who said yes? Okay, why? Oh. So one possibility, you'll say, because he's the one who's in control. What's the refutation to that?
He just got there.
He's not actually controlling it.
And what did we just say? The pshat in the Gimel Shanim is that the Gimel Shanim is in place of Shtar and Eidim. If I have a Shtar or Eidim, and somebody else is sitting there, it certainly doesn't work. So why, if I have a Cheskas Gimel Shanim, should it be any different?
I'm guessing that Cheskas Gimel Shanim means with Eidim, right?
Yes. Okay. It has to be verifiable. The details are the Gemara is going to talk about. Says the Ritva like this. I don't think you saw this Ritva. So the 1, 2, 3, it's the fourth paragraph in that same section of the Ritva. It starts, Bechein Yesh She'omer. There are those that say, excluding a Mi'iri and Baba Kama. Says the Mi'iri, She'ein chazaka mo'elos ela l'ukumei arab yarmasik kishehu besocha. The Mi'iri claims that in this case, if the Masik is not in the field when the Iyur happens, the Ma'arer is there, then the Masik loses his ability to get the field. He loses that ability to get the field. But to uproot from somebody else, lo mahani, does not work. Says the Ritva, v'ze'eno. Rav says, no way. No way. Dimkeni kanis shoma ma'arer sheyishli edi avos v'yitro gali ba'anpehu batalta kol ha'chazakos. Then the whole parsha of the chazakos goes out the window. Right? Because anytime the ma'arer wants to make a claim, he'll just push his way into the field, make his claim while he's in the field, and then all of Cheskas Gimel Shanim is thrown out the window. He's thrown out the window. I don't think that's really the Ritva's argument. Meaning, the Ritva's argument isn't like, well, it has to be this way because otherwise it doesn't make any sense, right? That's not the strongest of arguments. L'chora, what he's saying is what you guys said before, right? Is that what's the pshat in Cheskas Gimel Shanim? Is that it's a proof. If it's a proof, then the same way Shtar or Eidim don't require me to be there, so too Cheskas Gimel Shanim does not require me to be there. And if it's just about, oh, who's there now, who's there not now, the whole parsha of Chazakos falls around, not just because you can push people out, because it makes no sense anymore. Right? It's not compelling. To be compelling that it's a raya, it should be no weaker than Shtar Eidim. If it's weaker than Shtar Eidim, then why should it work? somehow the Me'iri seems to be learning that it's not as strong the Raya. It's not the Chezkas Gimel Shanim alone, it's Chezkas Gimel Shanim plus, we'll call it what you called it, I don't know if that's exactly what it is, right? The fact that I'm Mufsak in the land, plus the Chezkas Gimel Shanim is what's needed. But you need to have both of them because Chezkas Gimel Shanim is not as strong a raya. It's not just a replacement for Shtar Eidim. It's a place for Shtar Eidim that when we're stuck and you have a Chezkas Gimel Shanim and you're Mufsak in the Karka, then you have the ability to rely on this. But because it's not as strong, you need to bolster the Chezkas Gimel Shanim by being in the land. I can that create a situation in which somebody can push? It could. What are we supposed to do? The strength of the Gimel Shanim is only from the fact that you are there right now. Again, interesting knach, little nakuda of the Ritva. Good? Oh. So guys, what are the Mishnah saying? The Mishnah said, right, Cheskas Abatim, Aborav, Zashichim, Aros, Vashokos, Marazos, Bezavad, Zashok, Bebodim, everything makes payros all the time is Gimel Shanim. Let's see the opening Rashi. Says Rashi, Beis Hashlochen, Mitoch Shamayin Besocho, since there is a spring inside. Now, why is it insignificant that there's a spring there? That means that there is a natural water source in the field. It's almost like having a faucet. Right, you can constantly turn it on. Whenever you want, there can be irrigation there. Therefore, you can use the fields for other things. If you're relying solely on rain to come in, then you're going to be limited by the rainy season. Right? Nothing, there'll be some agricultural points that I can't quite explain. This isn't one of those, right? This makes sense, right? Good. Oh. Mitosha Mai Mesokosha Mashkos and a Tadir Oseperos Tadir, so it produces fruit all the time. The Chol Dara shows the Peros Tadir, anything which produces fruit all the time, Cheskas and Gimel Shanim Yom Yom. It has to be, it, the Chazaka is 3 years from day to day. Does that literally mean day to day? We'll see in a minute. In Mirzik Basha Shanim Shlemos, 3 complete years, Ain Sarich Lahavi Shtar Mechira. Oh. What did Rashi just say? Exactly what we just explained, right, when we opened up with the Ritva. Is that it's not that Chezkas Gimel Shanim alone is going to be enough, but it's a replacement, and now you don't have to produce the bill of sale anymore. Vim iriru aleha habaylam harishonim. And now if the original owner complains, Mizze Omer Machartoli, and he says that I, and the Machzik responds, I purchased it, v'avad shtari, and I lost my shtar. Chezkaso moel eslo. The chazaka works for him. What does it work for him? Works for him that he's not thrown out by not having a shtar. Meaning, chazal or the Torah. We don't know yet. This is a deraisa concept or a derabanan concept. But whatever this chezkas gimel shanim is, comes from an understanding that people don't hold on to their shtarus forever. It's not a reasonable expectation. How long is the expectation? Apparently, it's 3 years. Why? I don't know. Right? What's the IRS? 7 years.
For what?
How long do you have to hold on to your documents for? And
I think
more than that.
Maybe 6 years more.
Something like that. Okay, so there's a certain sheer that how long you have to hold on to your documentation, and beyond that, you're not expected to. Vim lav ein chezkasum eleslo. And if not what? I guess if not 3 years, then the chazaka doesn't work to replace the shtar. Lefisha kesha amro gimashon chazaka kolavroi latzes imenav gimashon amro. Because there was, again, it's a little bit of a hard line to read here at the end of Rashi, what Lafi is trying to prove. It seems to be that he's saying, since the purpose of what they said was that you need to have everything which is produced in 3 years, there's no way to achieve it in any less time. So the fact that I've been there for 2 years, right? Meaning, I guess what he's saying is that 3 years is not a gzeiras hakasav that it's 3 years. Right? The purpose of the 3 years is to make sure that you have three major achilos, whatever it can produce during that time. So if you're short on that time, you're short on the achilos. So mamela, it's not going to prove anything. It's not going to prove anything. So basically Rashi, from the outset, told us similar to what the Ritva says. He didn't tell us it can't be a chezkas kinyan, but he certainly said that's not what's happening here. Right? Because otherwise, why does he have to bring up the mechira? Why couldn't the ma'arer just say, it's mine because I've been sitting here for 3 years and you've been keeping your mouth shut? Why would you be keeping your mouth shut unless it belongs to me? But had it belong to you? Because I've been sitting here for 3 years. No, that doesn't work. It belongs because I bought it. The chazaka has to be accompanied, as the Gemara is going to say, you need a chazaka sheyeshi mataina. You need a chazaka which is accompanied by a claim. And the chazaka bolsters that claim. Chazaka bolsters that claim. Oh.
What type of claims are you trying to
offer? Besides purchasing, what could it be?
I'm saying
that's the claim here. What other burial could you gave to me as a gift, I guess? There aren't that many claims.
But I can make a claim up on the spot. I don't know why the claim makes a difference. It doesn't
add. Of course, anybody wants to lie can lie. Yeah.
So how does it help prove the chazaka being stronger if it's a fallible? It's like an open-ended claim.
Right. So I think that's going, again, that's probably part of why why is it that a cheskas gimel shanim works?
According to the Rebbe, that's a proof.
How is it a proof?
Because somebody should have said something within those 3 years.
Right. Right? It's abnormal that if, again, assuming that the owner saw it, which is what we're assuming, we'll have to see in the Gemara later, other situations. If the owner saw it and didn't say anything, Hagufa shows that it belongs to me. So is it it's possible that he made it up. Is it likely? It's not likely. Because this support of the Gimel Shanim, right? If you just started squatting somewhere and hope that it's going to go for 3 years and nobody's going to say anything, chances are it's not going to work out for you. Right? It's not that simple. It's not that simple. Oh. Now, why is it necessary that it should be Miyom Miyom? So says Rabbeinu Gershom. Right, but kol davar she'osa peros, klomar kol davar she'mishtamshin bo b'chol yom v'yom tadeh. Anything you use all the time. Cheskasa gimoshanam yom yom. The chazak is 3 years from day to day. To kol hani osin shimush miyom yom. You use it every day. V'im hichzik v'im gimoshanam yom yom. And if you're going to use it every day, v'achar kach ma'arar alayim shimadam. And if somebody else now claims and says it belongs to me, and you've been sitting in my field, machzikin lehubi yad machzik. We put it in the hands of the machzik. Why? Umishimachi bo'inam yom yom. So why every day? Kadesh lo yachal yidra ma'ar ani basu l'sham v'lo rizu shem ishtamish bo. Again, part of the raya of why this works is because you can't claim, I didn't see it. Right? Because if he's there every day, then you should have seen it. The fichach lo machisin. That's why I didn't protest. It sounds like literally every day, according to what Rabbeinu Gershom was saying. So it seems like a little bit of an extreme approach. Does that mean they can never leave? Can never leave? So the Rashba definitely does not learn that way. Says the Rashba. The cold hours of the birth of the chaskos is on yom yom. Love the memory of Yitzhar Lecha Parat Bechal Yom. You can't actually, first of all, you don't harvest the fruit every single day. Right, you're not get it. Just doesn't exist every day.
The slave, it doesn't make sense. Means that you're using it constantly the way an owner uses it. What it's really coming when he says miyom miyom is not to stress that it has to be every day, but it's to say that there are no specific times where it's obvious that people only use it for this amount of time. If it's a base of baal, which only produces fruit at a specific time here, so then it's only expected that you would do it at that time. And if the guy wants to complain, as your Bainer Gershom is going to tell us later on, then you have to add that basket. Well, did he show up at the normal time or not? If he showed up another time, then tough. It's your problem. Also, the chazaka, as long as you're using it, and that is the ikar, and so the yisod gadol in life also, is that you have to be normal. If you're using it in the normal way of owners, then the original owner can't just say, well, I showed up. No, you can't just show up, and then that's why you didn't protest. It must be that there is a raya with what happens. Okay. It started a little late. I should go on a little bit more. Again, what we've established so far is we understand, we don't know why specifically 3 years, we understand what this chazaka is. We understand that miyom liyom, again, Avinu Gershom might mean it literally. The Rashba certainly did not mean it literally, or did not think that the Rishna meant it literally. And now, as quick, we'll see, we're beginning to see the Beis HaBaal. Soda Beis HaBaal, Chazkosa Shol Shonim Ve'inan Miyom Liyom. The Soda Beis HaBaal says, Rashi, Amistah Pekes V'megishamim, it suffices on just rainwater. Eino Seperos L'Pamachas B'Shana, and it only, therefore, only produces fruit one time. Yer Chazkosa G'mashana Ve'ino Shil Yom, it does not have to be from day to day. So why not? So says Rabbeinu Gershom. You don't have to do it every day. If he says I showed up, there was nobody here, so I didn't complain. You're protesting again. What they've revealed to us is that there is this concept of a formal protest. If you want to stop a machzik, right, you have to file. I don't know if you have to do it in triplicate or not. We'll discuss the details of it. But you have to protest. If you protest in the middle, that breaks up the chezkas gimashonim. But to say that I didn't do it because I didn't see him there, and I went at a time when I know that nobody would ever be there, even an owner wouldn't be there, that's not indicative in any way, shape, or form of the ownership over the field or not. What you're going to have to see as you go forward, if you saw the rest of the Mishnah already, then I would suggest going back tomorrow, is now that we've just said that the Sde Beis HaBaal is Gimel Shanim, but it's not Miyom Miyom, what are Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva coming along and doing? Are Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva coming along to Mefarish? Are they coming along to explain this din? Are they coming to argue on that din? And how does that flesh out in terms of the Mishnah? The hint is that it's a machlokas rishonim. But you'll see as you go through, and that will hopefully help us understand a little bit of what these chazakos are about, and what is the chiddush of the limited chazaka of Rabbi Yishmael. Right? What would I have thought, and what is Rabbi Yishmael in fact allowing for, and how is it possible? Again, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you're having it in 3 months and 3 months, and what are you doing during the middle year? What are you doing that's reflective of your bialos? So that Amir Tzah Hashem, we'll see tomorrow.